What's going on, you constellations out there? Thank you so much for welcome back to the Geek Talk with Brian Bird 16 and Brandon versus Reviews. I'm your host, Brian Bird 16, and
I'm Brenton versus Reviews, guys. How you doing today? We got a special guest host. This is Adam Barnhart of comicbook.com. Adam, take it away, man.
comicbook.com.
Yes, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, how you been?
I've been great. I just what is it? Has it been 2 weeks already? It's been 2 weeks since I got married. So life's been real good.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
Congrats,
thank you,
man.
thank you. And the wife loves comic books and all that stuff.
It's a
So
plus,
it's
dude.
life. Yes, it is. She
I don't have a
has
wife like that, shoot.
her wand collection's actually over there. Her Harry Potter wand collection.
Nice.
So she was a nerd even before she met me.
What house
But
is she a part of?
Gryffindor, I think that she's Gryffindor through and through. I think she's gonna kill me. That's the most basic response. I think everyone wants to be
I'm a
Gryffindor, but
Gryffindor.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
I would probably consider myself a Hufflepuff. I don't even recall any of that stuff. I know I read the I read I the Deathly Hallows. I remember staying up till midnight to go get that book. And like I wanted to camp out for it. But there was no need to because I showed up. I went to a grocery store. I live in Iowa and there's a grocery chain that's regional called Hy-Vee. And I went to Hy-Vee right at midnight, and there was not a single soul in the store waiting for it. And they had like this huge pallet of it right in like the front entryway. And I was the first one to buy it at this certain Hy-Vee location. That has nothing to do with comics or anything, but
But
I
again, it's
was
all
like,
geek talk,
yeah,
man.
it's all
That's what,
geek talk, man. It was
yeah.
I was a Harry Potter fan at one point.
Nice,
Awesome.
man. And by the way, rest in peace, Robbie Coltrane, Hagrid
Absolutely.
Right.
Man. So, Adam, let's just like get into it and stuff. First off, I just want to say I think it's pretty incredible and stuff. I follow comicbook.com. I follow a lot of like your like content and stuff. You guys are incredible. I know
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I work for Illuminati, so like we talk to
There
you
you go,
guys.
yeah.
Yeah.
Dork side of the
So,
force.
yeah.
There you go, yeah. I've talked to Joe quite a bit. Joe's a good
Awesome.
guy, yeah.
Yeah. So again, just wanted to get the pleasantries out of the way.
Yeah,
Let's talk about
thank
your
you.
Kickstarter and your project, Mother Macabre. Like when I read your like premise for it and stuff, I was immediately hooked. It's like a Stephen King ex like graphic like HP Lovecraft graphic novel, like love letter. Like, can we discuss this in every form and
Absolutely,
aspect?
yeah. No,
Go for it.
absolutely. Let's do it. So this is a my comic career officially started with a book called Shit Show. And Shit Show was picked up by Scout Comics, and it deals with the fall of the Age of Heroes in a sense. The Rich McCoy, the hero known as Legend in our universe, which is now called the Riot Verse, couldn't stop the force he needed to stop, and the Age of Heroes comes to an extinction. And there's an event that happens in there that involves Macabre Mel going to hell, and that's where the story picks up. I was writing this since Shit Show's been released. I've written a whole lot of more stuff, and we finally got around to telling this story. And I'm super excited about it. It follows Mel on her journey to hell to, fight for the right to her soul, while also dealing with beast that controls all of space and time with a sword, and King Arthur and Merlin are also in there. So it's
That's
got
really cool,
flavors
man.
of a little bit of everything going on.
That was so cool because I was talking to my sister about it earlier too. A little bit after work, and she was like, "It's interesting that this story is coming out because it's my sister's kind of into like astrological, metaphysical stuff." And she told me like how it's kind of like near Pluto season, like the fall, which talks about, and the reason for fall is because I think she said something along the lines of where. Like the story of Persephone, where she basically goes to like hell, you know, to chill right. with I think Hades or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like in the spring or summer, she spends time with her mother and all that. So it kind of reminded her of that when I told her about the comic, you know. Is it Macabre, Mel? Is how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Macabre. It's
Macabre,
it's
yeah.
whatever you want to say. Both are accurate.
Because I told her about the synopsis and she was also hooked too. She's like, that sounds really interesting that, you know, this woman's taking a trip to hell to reclaim her soul and mm-hmm. fight Lucifer. And it's just like, wow. And I even read some of the panels too, and even the artwork looks really awesome too.
Thank you. No, Roland's is someone I've wanted to work with forever. He's done a short story with me that we released earlier this year. And we've just, we've pitched comics together. We finally, the stars aligned, you know, speaking of the astrology aspect of it, but the stars aligned and we finally got together on this project and he's killing it. We wanted to keep the purpose of, excuse me, all of our October releases, you know, with the Lunchroom Ride banner, is that we want them to be homages to, you know, those awesome pre-code horror books, those awesome pulp magazines and things of that nature. So it was always going to be black and white from, you know, the leap. And Roland's came in and he absolutely killed it. His artwork's like atmospheric, it's moody, it's super passionate. And there's, even at looking at the preview pages, there's some of my favorite work of his is on the preview pages, and that doesn't even touch the quality of the rest of the book. It's just insane the caliber of work he's putting out for this.
I just want to commend you and stuff. The writing is also incredible as well. It's very, very satirical at times, but mm-hmm. I also love the direction of it as well, because like fantasy and horror is like such a thing that people are like, oh, it's always beaten to death, but no, like this aspect of it and stuff and like the genre you're going down, it's really something that's kind of creative but also revolutionary in a way as well. Can you touch upon that?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm glad you brought, you know, satire into it a little bit, because that's just who I am as a person. I think that's what most of us want, and I think combining horror and humor is kind of, I mean, it is taking advantage of humanity's two most powerful emotions, I think. I mean, first off, fear controls, I would argue, most every single one of our decision making, right? I mean, fear's the one thing that holds us back to everything, and humor's the direct opposite of that. So it's nice to kind of have the warring emotions together. And the one thing, plus everyone loves to laugh, you know, I mean, I was watching The Conjuring this weekend again, and I forgot how terrifying of a movie that was and how scary that was. And I'm like, man, it doesn't hurt to put some levity in there every now and then. That said, I mean, Wicked Salvation, Macabre Mill, Wicked Salvation is still rather dark. I mean, we're in hell. She's beating the hell out of the devil. The devil's beating the hell out of her. There's some pretty gruesome parts. There's some dismemberments. There's some hellish torture. But at the same time, we didn't want to go full Tucker and Dale, right? We wanted to keep it still somewhat
not
dark.
Like slapstick.
Yeah.
Kind of like Evil Dead, like the Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell, like how it's horror, but it's like humor too at the same time. And it's like...
Right.
It's like, you know, the horror movies meets Three Stooges, and like people just beating the crap out of each other, and this looks ridiculous, but at the same time, you know, it's like kind of freaky too.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And that's, I mean, I can't help myself. That's just how I write, and that goes across every single one of the things. I mean, Shit Show's about a guy who falls down on hard times and becomes an alcoholic and relies on drugs and all sorts of other stuff, and it still has that very, very dark humor in it at times.
So one of the things also too and stuff I want to add upon is, like, Brian really mentioned a great point about slapstick and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is like, could you mention like a director or someone, like a source of influence that like really was inspirational for this story that you wanted to tell? So like a Sam Raimi, maybe a Michael Giacchino, with like what he did with Werewolf by Night now, and like how that premise is really starting to take form now.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if there's a single creator or filmmaker that inspired me on this particular story. I know as a whole, as just more general, I really look towards the work of the likes of Jeff Lemire, Frank Miller's pretty
Great
cliche
writer,
by
Jeff
now, but
Lemire.
Frank Miller's, I mean, Born Again. If you guys follow me on Twitter, Daredevil Born Again is one of my favorite
Oh,
comic
yeah.
stories ever written. But Frank always balances prose and comic storytelling in a very real way, and I mean it's just absolutely brutal the stuff he does. Lemire's his ability to inject like that Twin Peaks vibe in everything he does, regardless of the characters or the setting. I mean, we're talking he put werewolves in Moon Knight, but then he had his
I love his
Twin
work on
Peaks
Moon
stamp.
Knight, one of
His
my
Moon Knight
favorites.
stuff's fantastic. If you can't tell, this shelf right here is full of his Black Hammer books. I have the Black Hammer
Well,
library
Black
editions
Hammer was
down
another
there.
good one.
Black Hammer's. I could talk. We could switch to Black Hammer if you want, because I could talk about that for
Oh,
days and days and
yeah.
days. And then all my Hellboy books are there too. So Mike Mignola's another influence on my writing, especially because the thing I love about him is not only his like how he formats his writing and segments his writing, but he loves mythology, and he's true to mythology and the stories that people have been telling for generations and years and centuries. I mean, you have to realize those are some good ass stories if people have been telling them as long as they've been telling them, right? And Mignola's ability to be true to the source material, if you want to call it that, to ability to myth, how do you want to say it? It's not comic accuracy, mythology accuracy. I don't know, whatever. He's true to
Mythology
the
accurate,
material
possibly.
while putting a fresh take on it. The Baba Yaga, those Russian folk tales, hell and Lucifer, the demons, and that faith-based mythology and the Greek pantheon and all that stuff. And that stuff you can find not only in Macabre Mail, Wicked Salvation, but I mean, we're talking the King Arthur and Merlin stuff. We're talking some Greek stuff I have planned in universe and a bunch of other things such as that nature. So those are kind of an overarching overview of my writing inspiration. But no, there wasn't necessarily a certain inspiration for Wicked Salvation proper. I will say Drag Me to Hell is one of my favorite movies I've ever watched. Just incredible. But nah, that didn't really have a hand in helping with Macabre Mel.
So you mentioned also with mythology and all that though, and would you say like which mythology was more heavily influenced in this comic, if you had to pick one?
So, I mean, in this comic, just, I mean, we do get, I'm not sure if you can count it in mythology, but I mean, Dante's Inferno, we directly reference a few times throughout there, especially how we structure our version of hell. Hell's, I think my hell's different from both of your hells, but Dante had his hell. And there's, I mean, that's the thing about, faith and religion and all this stuff. Everyone has a different underworld, everyone has a different hell. So I would say Dante inspired this version the most. Other things, I mean, Shitshow 2's brewed solely in Egyptian mythology, and that's coming out sometime soon. We get into the Greek stuff here in a bit, and there's a bunch of other stuff up here in my noggin, and we'll see it if it ever sits or hits the light of day.
Like I know we go to hell and stuff. Is there like a way that like you could possibly include like angels, God, its actual self, like somewhere around there, like Christianity faith, like you're toying around like different ideals?
Absolutely. I will answer that question too by saying I've written something dealing with that stuff. So, man, I really want this story to happen. I've pitched it around somewhat, but I'm working on this story of kind of detailing the Eternal War. I mean, heaven and hell's been at war for ages, right? And in this story, which I'm calling Something Happened to Uncle Chuck, the key to winning this battle is Uncle Chuck, who happens to be the most ordinary person on the face of the planet. But the problem
Funny.
is, Uncle Chuck is so ordinary. He's done as many good deeds as he's done as he's sinned. So for every good deed, there's a sin. So it cancels each other out. And one day Uncle Chuck gets a terminal diagnosis. So this story follows a demon sent to Earth and an angel sent to Earth as they convince him to do good and bad so they can lay claim to Uncle Chuck's soul when he passes. And win the Eternal War. So that's the story I want. I mean, we have here. Hold on one second. I have like key art to it. It's incredible. And I want to tell it. I'll get around to it sometime. But yeah, if I find it, I'll pull it up. But it's, oh man, I've loved that. I sat down, the idea I've toyed with forever. And then one afternoon I sat down and I cranked out the 24 page script in an hour and a half, 2 hours. Dang. And that's the fastest I've ever written anything. And I've gone back through that script and I've changed very little. And I've never been able to replicate that feeling ever. Just like meshing with the vibe of a story. But yeah, that's something happened to Uncle Chuck. I just revealed that story to the masses. Who knows if what's going on with that. But that's one of the heaven and hell stories I want to tell.
You know, really cool. Sorry, Brian.
Go ahead, Brandon.
You know, one of the things and stuff I just want to add in stuff as well is that, like, I just love the creativity and, like, the aspects and just, like, how what your mind's really taking you. And I just want to say that's incredible as an author and stuff. And as a diehard Supernatural fan, I just want to say the Uncle Chuck thing is pretty cool. And just Supernatural went on for 15 seasons and I just watched Winchester's and I'm like, okay, Jensen Ackles, you hooked me again. So, like, reading something like this with a constant struggle of like heaven and hell and like macabre Mel and stuff going to hell beating the hell out of the devil. I'm just like, when can I get this book? I already pledged. I just want to read it like right now.
I'm right there with you, man. It's, and that's the thing. I don't want to say I'm not spiritual, but I'm not religious by any stretch of the imagination. But it's just that story, man. It's just the age-old story of good versus evil and you know, light versus dark. And, I think it's just human nature that we don't want to – nobody likes basking in the darkness. Right? Oh, no. I mean, I love cloudy days, but that's not just pure despair and things like that. You know, people don't want to be depressed. Who wants to be depressed, you know?
Oh, no.
But it's just that it's just that idea of – that if you do good, it's eternal pleasure, and if you do bad, it's eternal damnation. I'm not saying I believe in either, but that doesn't mean I want to tell stories about it, just because it's that type of stuff that intrigues the hell out of me.
I mean, because like at that point, you know, when you're telling the story, I mean, I think your goal would be that you want to see them, you want to roof them to get out of that, you know. Am I right?
No, totally. And that's the thing. I mean, one of I love fresh takes on this type of stuff, and I think Jason Aaron's Ghost Rider comes to mind when he makes like rogue angels the antagonist. Like, that's pretty ballsy, making angels a villain.
Did that too, but kind of with a twist in a sense. The game Devil May Cry 4 did that.
Okay.
And if you play Devil May Cry 4, you would actually, if you've ever played Devil May Cry, you know it's about a demon named Dante, Dante's Inferno. But in Devil May Cry 4, there's this seemingly religious, you know, it's like this religious church. They're all holy though, but then, you know, at first you think they're all good and that they're fighting demons, right? Right. But then, spoiler alert, the kicker is that it turns out that the soldiers fighting for this church are using technology derived from demonic energy.
See, and now I gotta play that because it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah,
I love those types of stories it takes, because I think a lot of people forget that even the devil was an angel.
Yeah,
you know,
a fallen angel. Yeah,
yeah.
So that's just the kind of the subversion of expectations a bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the beautiful things I love about the Witcher books is because, like, you never really know who the monster truly is. And one of the things that I noticed watching Werewolf by Night, it's kind of like the same thing and stuff. Like, werewolf monster films are like really symbolic of like symbolic and allegorical of like character differences and stuff, gender identity, like anxiety, depression, you know, being the outcast and stuff. That's how Mary Shelley wrote Frankenstein at the
Frankenstein,
time. Yeah, so one of the things I just want to add is like that people really don't understand, like, in this context, sorry, that like who the monster truly is. So I think toying with that subversion of like hell and heaven, like your distinct perception of it, is truly something that's very fascinating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, hell yeah. I don't know what else. I love everything you just said. And that's the thing, man. What's like, what is a monster? You know, who are
Yeah,
we
to
to,
judge, yeah.
Are we saying Ted's a monster? I just wanted to give him a hug the whole thing. You know,
Oh, I love Ted.
that's not a monster. You know,
Yeah.
what's a monster? I love that you dropped a Frankenstein, an iconic classic. Yeah, I was gonna say something, but you just kind of blew my mind because I've loved every single word that just came out of your mouth. It'll pop back up sometime.
Brian, anything else you want to add and stuff?
Well, yeah, one thing is just that I really like the fact that, you know, stories like this, like, kind of like, you know, put to question, like, about the morality, like, who's really right, who's really wrong. And I always come to Walking Dead, like with Negan, you know, the character of Negan, and how there was a conversation between him and Maggie, and she was saying, "Oh, you killed my people." He's like, "Well, actually, lady, you attacked my people, so I had to do what I can to protect my people because you invaded my home." And it's stories like that that really kind of get you to, like, really gauge and to think, like, you know, what is good, what is bad, and all that. I mean, obviously, good. You always want to root for good versus a fight against evil, but, you know, in deep conversations like that, though, it kind of gets you really thinking,
And you know, in the case of Macabre Mill, I don't even think it's quite her battle with evil either. I don't think that's even the basis of the story. You know, it's just the fact that she's in hell finding out the most about herself. You know, it's absolutely insane that she had to go to hell to kind of find out who she
It's a
is. So
crazy
she's
hero's journey story.
that's exactly what it is. You know, she's going to the literal pits of hell just to kind of find out what she's all made of and if her choices she made in her previous life are good, and what she can do to kind of correct it should she get a second life, which if you've read Shitshow number 3, she does. So yeah.
Do you consider Macabre Mel to be like in the morally gray section where she's trying to figure things out? And like also adding on Brian's point about Walking Dead, I kind of noticed like the sense of mortality and like figuring out where you are, good and bad, with like Andor and like what Tony Gilroy did with that series right now. Like everybody thinks like, oh, the Empire is so bad and stuff. No, they're terrible, but the rebels also stabbed each other in the back as well. And there's a lot of hidden agendas as well, too. So seeing like how dark and depraved Star Wars truly is now without the solistic fanfare and like lightsabers and mythological elements, and like you really peel back to like this gritty, disgusting, broken world. It's kind of like a great thing to see in a way.
That's almost exactly what Wicked Salvation deals with. You know, she is a Macabre Mel is a sorceress. She deals in dark magic. You know, that's no secret. So it's whether, you know, answering for her actions, because as it turns out, her actions did a hell of a lot more harm than good, you know, and she certainly lives in that gray area. And that's exactly what this story examines. You know, and it ends up in a killer spot, and there are certainly a bunch of bumps and bruises along the way because we are doing 56 pages, so we're talking darn near three full-size comic books within one original graphic novella is what we're calling it. But yeah, that's Wicked Salvation in a nutshell.
It's really awesome, and right now it's out on Kickstarter and all that, and I was just wondering, like, I've actually already pledged as well. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to read it. And can you tell us more about the Kickstarter and like the goals and all that behind it?
Absolutely. So right now we have 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks left to go. We're done funding on October 31st. We have, like I said, 56 pages. It is going to come in a saddle stitched form, just like regular comic books. It's just going to be, she's going to be thick. Four covers, four soft cover variants. The first one is by the interior artist, Roland's Cal Nige. The second one is by Matea Monaco, excuse me. And then we have two of them, cover C and cover D, are by Juan Angel. And Juan does like hyper realistic portrait type stuff. And he's done stuff on every single project I've done. And then we have a fifth secret variant, quote unquote, that you can add as an add-on by Federica Mancini, who I would not be surprised to see doing work at one of the big two. The art she's cranked out just since I've known her, the year and a half I've known her, it's incredible. I won't be able to work with her much longer because her career is going to skyrocket while I'm still in the ninth circle of hell. But then there's a hardcover. We're doing a hardcover edition too, super exclusive. We will probably never do a hardcover for this story ever again. And Roland's also did the cover to that, which is just epic and gnarly, and Mills in there, and there's a bunch of demons behind her, Lucifer's back there, and there's a bunch of fire and hellish stuff. Excuse me. But so that's the 5-6 different books. There's ketchup packs, of course. This is in the Riotverse, as I said, but it is a self-contained story. But should you so choose to explore this comic world even further, there's ketchup packs. You can ketchup packs. I said that like as if it will come with ketchup and mustard or something. Yeah, but there are ketchup packs where you can buy the trade, Shitshow Volume 1 trade, and then Shitshow Shorts Number 1, a new printing of, which is like a mini anthology of 4 or 5 stories. So there's all that. Retailers, we have retailer packs and all that stuff. But that's kind of the campaign and full. We're clipping along. Today's been a pretty busy day on the Kickstarter compared to the past few days. You know, we're over the second week slog, as they call it on in crowdfunding circles. So we're racing to the end. It's it was a super interesting choice on my part to launch a Kickstarter campaign the day after I got married, but we're making it through. We're making it through, and the end of the campaign will be here before you know it.
Adam, awesome. Sorry, Brian.
Nah, go ahead, Brian. It's all right.
Okay. Adam, I just want to say thank you so much for your time and stuff. You're an incredible writer. You're a great personality. Thanks, man. At comicbook.com.
Thanks, man.
I really follow your career a lot. I just want to say, as a writer also, just you give me a lot of inspiration. So I just want to say thank you for that. I can't wait till this comes out. We're definitely going to review on Daily Planet DC.
Definitely.
I'm going to talk to Joe about it. Maybe we can get some coverage as well for Illuminati, help you stretch out a little for there. And guys, the Kickstarter and stuff is available right now. Adam, you want to post a link or something in the chat? We can tweet it out.
Definitely. It'll be in the description too.
Yeah, we'll post it in the description. We'll post it. We'll tweet it out as soon as this is done. Thank you so much. Brian, you want to wrap it up?
Yep. Thank you so much for being on the Geek Talk with Brian and Brendan, Reviews of Earth 16. It was awesome having you, Adam. And yes, you are an amazing writer. I hope to read more of your stuff. I'm definitely going to start following you right now on comic book. It was really a huge honor to meet you.
Thank you so much. That boggles my mind. Like, yeah, thanks, guys. No, thanks so much for having me. I'm ecstatic someone wanted me to come talk about my stuff that was birthed in this wacky brain. So thanks so much for speaking with me.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much all for listening and for viewing if you're watching the YouTube video. And as I always say, this is Brian from Earth 16, and
I'm Ren Versus Reviews.
And
I'm Adam. Adam Barnhart. And you could follow me on Twitter at Adam Barnhart, or you don't have to. It's totally up to you.
And you can follow us on Daily Planet DC and Earth 16 Geek Talk.
You can follow me on Twitter at Bren vs. Reviews, Illuminati, Bam Smack Pow, DailyPlanetDC.com. Check everything out, guys.
And you can also follow me, too, on Brian Edward 16 and see my work on The Dork Side of the Force. All right, well, thank you so much, y'all, for listening and for viewing. Stay up so awesome. We're all signing out.
All right, guys. Peace.
Peace.
All right.